So we're focusing today on application. That's number 6 on your worksheet. The passage that you teach must be applied. Let's look in Scripture for the reasoning behind this. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. Scripture must be applied. Can I have somebody read aloud for us 2 Timothy? I'll write it up here. Second Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. Who wants to read that loudly? Okay, so Scripture has an end. It has an end. It's not just to make us feel good. It's not merely to give us encouragement. It's not merely to teach us about Christ. I mean, it does all these things, but there is an end here. And it says here, it's got to teach us. It's got to reprove us. It's got to correct us. It has to train us, and it will eventually make us complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture, especially as we teach it to others, our goal should be what this passage says. As we are teaching a passage, when we think of that pathway for preparation, we start with the text and we do our exegesis and theological reflection, when we're thinking about persuading our listeners, we should be thinking about these things. We should be thinking about how the scriptures are doing these, what effect it would have in our listeners' lives. The principal sentence for this idea of application is that the persuasive teacher must, no, sorry. The persuasive teacher applies her argument for the good of her audience. When we think about application, the principle behind this is the persuasive teacher applies her argument for the good of her audience. I'm going to draw a picture with this that represents this idea. Who can tell me what this is? It's a bullseye. It is. It's a target. Is it because I drew it in red that you knew what it was? You know, like the store? Did anybody get that? Like the store target? Okay, are we still waking up here? All right, it's a bullseye. It's a target. The target of your teaching is your audience, okay? Because the persuasive teacher applies her argument for the good of her audience. The target is the audience. There's an arrow that goes into this bullseye. That arrow is your argument. It's the words that you're saying to your audience. Application, it's a little tricky, is the impact of your argument to your audience. It's the impact of the arrow into the target. You got it. Okay, good. That does make sense. Application is when your argument makes contact with your audience. So often when we think about application, some mistakes that we make are that we jump to what we think someone needs to hear in a passage. But what we need to be doing is opening our eyes and looking at the text and doing all of our work on the pathway to see what is actually in that text that the author is highlighting that needs to be applied to my audience. Another mistake that we make is that we offer too many applications along the way. So the arrow up here, we have one arrow. It's trying to hit the center of that target. And if we have too many arrows that are like going all, like they're trying to hit, it's not going to land. Or honestly, you're just going to like bloody your people. There's going to be too many arrows in them. I don't know. There's going to be too much impact. We have to be, in a sense, single-minded in taking that argument and hitting it into the center of the bullseye. Now, as we think about this, I want us to think about making application better. So we're all making progress on this. So there isn't necessarily one way to do it, one way to do application, but we want to be better at it. We want to be better expositors, better teachers, making better applications. Now, as we think about how we do this in an exposition, wait, are there questions about the picture or the sentence? Yeah? That where I highlighted the yellow, that's the point at which the argument makes contact with the target. And that's the that's application. Yep, that's application. Yeah, if you want to know like other parts of this picture, the tip of the arrow is your main point. The tip of the arrow is the main, it's like that one thing that, you know, that's the one thing. The shaft of the arrow is the teaching outline. It's everything that comes out of that main point. And then the feathers on the end are the adornments that like guide it in to where it needs to go. You want me to do it again? Okay, so the tip, this I'm giving you extra than I, but is it helpful though to see the whole picture? Okay, so the tip of the arrow is the main point. It's that one thing and it like, you know, comes to that point, right? The shaft of the arrow is the teaching outline, so everything that's driving it forward, and then driving that tip forward, and then the feathers on the end are the adornments that's making its way there to your target, helps make its way there to the target. We made this up, okay, so it's not like, yeah. And then the target is the audience. That's what that bullseye there is. Okay, other questions? Thinking about, we're going to do some strategies for how we actually do, how we come up with applications, but I want us to think about this first. I want us to think about how we present application in our exposition. How are we going to, so the parts of presenting an application, what does that look like? So we need to ask three questions about how we're going to present our application in our exposition. Number one is simply, what is the application? What is it? We're going to do some strategies to come up with how to answer this question well in a text. But what is the application? So my exposition from yesterday, I had a primary application, and I don't know if you guys got it or not. What was like the main thing that I wanted you to take away? It's just good feedback for me. So whatever you say, I can. That's it. Yes, I wanted you to believe that it's better to die. It's better to die than to live. That my application, my primary application is I wanted to change your mind. I wanted you to believe that it's better to die. That's what my application is. Then secondly, you have to ask how will you apply it? So it's one thing for me to just say, to die is better than leaving. Believe this. Do you really believe this? How will you apply it? So a couple, I added in a couple different things when I was explaining this. As far as how to apply this, I said something about don't be blinded by all of the good things here on earth, like seeing cherry blossoms in their peak bloom, right? But really look to heaven. Or I also talked about if you were on a desert island, who would you want with you, you know, to have you really wrestle with it, like how you're going to apply this. I think I also talked about some of us just feel very burdened and we just want to get to heaven because we want to escape from this world, but that's also not quite what Paul was wanting either. So I wanted to be careful in how we applied this, that you truly were valuing Christ. That's why you wanted to be in heaven. So that's how I applied it. And then number three, why should they, your audience, why should they apply it? Like, why should they accept it? And hopefully I tried to do this in my talk again. Why should you believe that dying is better than living? Because you will be with Christ. That's why. You will be with Christ. And I tried to explain the benefits of that. Okay, so thinking through, what is the application, how will you apply it in your message, and why should your audience apply it? I think those are three really key things, questions on this. Yes, in the back.
This sounds like you have, like you said, you had a primary
identity. I did, and we're going to get to that. Yes. I'm going to get to that. Yep. Because I did have a few other applications in there, didn't I? There was more than that. Yes, Antoinette. Yeah, so my argument was to die is better, but there's work to do here now. So my primary application was to convince you to believe that to die is better. Yep. This is just, my applications aren't always to believe something. Sometimes it's something else. I don't know what yours is going to be later today, but we'll talk about it in our small groups. Actually, we're going to do an exercise. So we'll do an exercise and you'll come a little bit clearer. Okay, questions? Okay, let's think about strategies then. Let me just say one more thing, sorry, about the what is the application, how will you apply it, and why should you apply it? Frequently, the text will tell you these things. So the question, why should you all apply it, was a very easy one for me to answer because Paul said it, for to depart from here, or did he say I can be with Christ? I forget. To die is gain. Well, all that to say, sometimes the text just tells you why you should apply it. It gives you the reason, okay? So it's not like you have to work really hard at it. And sometimes it tells you how to apply things too. Yeah?
Is this more true in epistles than, say, narrative?
I haven't taught this at a narrative workshop yet, so I don't know. Oh, no, wait, I did teach it on Gospels. I don't know yet. Yeah. Right, narratives can be descriptive, not prescriptive, so they're just describing what happened, not telling us that we must follow that. Yeah, I have to think about that. That's a really great question. I'm going to think about that some more. Okay, see, this talk will be even better the next time you hear it. It's going to be great. Okay, strategies. Strategies. Hopefully, if we have enough time, I'm going to give you 3 strategies, and we'll do an exercise, and then I'll do a 4th strategy. We'll do another exercise. I hope you have enough time for that. So strategies, number one, what is the one strategy that can go across any of our principles? It's to pray. Yes, absolutely. We're going to be praying. And, you know, this is really specific because this is where rubber meets the road. We need to really know there are people that we are teaching. Actually, that's actually my second strategy, is audience, is thinking about your audience. But what I think is, and maybe I said this on the first night when we were talking about prayer, but our teaching, it's easy to just get absorbed in, okay, I have this content, and I need to get it, I need to teach it, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm the teacher, I'm the leader, I just need to get this content out. This content is intersecting in the lives of real people. So to be praying for that, like, Lord, how should I be applying this? I need help with this. And then thinking about your audience specifically. Who is your specific audience? So I teach at a prison ministry, and my prison ministry is different than my women's ministry at my church because the ladies are in very different situations, right? So when I'm applying a passage, I mean, it's similar. It's not like they're totally different. It's similar applications, but the way, maybe like how they apply it is going to be different in the prison versus in my women's ministry. Or another example could be, I know there's some people here that work in children's ministry. So how are you applying it to a 5-year-old versus a 55-year-old? You know, there's different ways that, like, you know, put off sexual immorality. What's a 5-year-old going to do with that versus a 55-year-old, right? So you just, I think that's what we talked about in Colossians 3 yesterday, right? Yeah. So just consider your audience and how you will make applications and how you would flesh that out for your audience. And then thirdly, use your main point. Use your main point. Remember when we talked about the pathway and how you start with, and we talked about this yesterday in connecting to the gospel. You start with your structure that reveals an emphasis. You see that in context, and that leads to your author's main point. Your gospel connection will be best when it's connected to your author's main point. Well, same now with your application. It should come out of your main point. So what's that main thing, that arrowhead that your author, or that you want to get across? The application should be very tied to that. That primary application should be, you shouldn't, like, for example, another application that I gave in my talk yesterday was to pray for those who minister the gospel, right? It said pray for the preacher on Sunday, pray for missionaries, right? That was definitely not my primary application, because that does not have anything to do with to die is better. But I felt like it was there in the text, and it was worth mentioning as an application, but it was definitely not my, I spent like 3 sentences on it, where my primary application, I spent a lot longer developing it. So use your main point to come up with your, let me put it this way, to come up with your primary application. I like to think in terms of primary application. Let me quote Julius Kim. He wrote a book called Preaching the Whole Counsel of God. It's an excellent book. I mean, most preaching books have this idea in it, but Julius Kim, Preaching the Whole Counsel of God, he says, while many applications are possible from the text, prioritize what's emphasized in the text. And then he says, just make sure they're present in the text. Sometimes we do like go out of the text. We're like, oh, I think this relates, and I'm going to apply that. But many applications are possible from the text, but prioritize what's emphasized. So hopefully I did that. I prioritized what was emphasized in the text. And as you think about how you're going to apply the main point, so I talked about mine was to a belief to change your mind, to die is better. And there's like kind of 3 categories to think about. That would be something that is like a head application, your thoughts. But there's also like a hands application, which are more actions, you know, like go do something, like put off sexual immorality. That's more of a like do something. And then there's heart applications, like your attitude, repent from your sin. So I think in my application, my primary one, to die is better, to convince you of that, that was a head one, that was a thought. I had the idea of praying for others. I personally think the praying for others is a hands one. It's an action. You could say, it doesn't matter what category it falls into. These are just helping you think through different categories, okay? So you might want to argue that it would fall into like an attitude thing, and it could, but I just put it under hands. So praying for others. But towards the end of my talk, when I went into my second point, what comes out of the idea to die is better is that, but there's work to do here now. And I had 2 applications that came out of that point. A sort of stronger one was that we ourselves need to be making progress in the faith, which that could either be head, you know, your thoughts, or it could be the attitude as we are making progress in our faith. But then I also said, secondly, come alongside others. We're Bible teachers, come alongside others to help them make progress, which maybe is more of a hands-on action that you are discipling and working like that, right? So just think of all these different categories. We're working on making better applications, right? So it's not always about go do something. Sometimes it's about changing your thoughts or your attitude. Just these different ways to apply your main point. Because it's applying your main point, I would just encourage you, you don't have to wait to the end of your talk to apply, because you should be speaking your main point throughout your whole talk. Like, the whole outline is proving your main point, so be applying as those points come up. So like as the prayer thing came up, I applied that right away. And to die is better, I was applying that immediately, telling you should believe that. And then when we came to the second part, then I was applying it immediately there too. And at the very end, I did come back to, you know, what did I say? I brought it back with me. At the very end, let's grow in our affection for Christ. Let's grow in our longing for heaven. And eventually we'll say, yes, Paul. Dying, in fact, is better than living. That's how I ended, because I wanted to come back to my primary application. So it's not like you can't do it at the end. You should, but don't be afraid to. Don't just explain the passage and say, now what does all this mean? Because you've lost all this opportunity to connect your application to the points that you were making. Okay, we're going to do an exercise, but questions on these strategies before we do the exercise? Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So grow. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I like what you're saying here. So the question is, you know, thinking about the difference maybe between head and heart. Those are close. So is there like a change in thinking? Like, I didn't even think about the fact that to die could be better. But then when we think about making progress or growing in our affection for Christ, maybe that is more of a heart thing because our heart is drawn to the pleasures of this world, or our heart is failing us with the discouragement of this world and it needs to be encouraged to love Christ. I think that's fair that could be more of a heart thing. Am I answering your question though? Yeah, I think, can you apply scripture to people's feelings? I guess I want to be a little bit careful with that. I want to say yes, but in, like, give me an example of a feeling. Okay, I think I see what you're saying. I don't have an answer for you right now. I'm going to think about that a little bit more. I think there's some in this room that are touchy-feely and some that are absolutely not. So I lean on the side of absolutely not. I mean, I lean on that side. I'm not an absolutely not. But I want to think more about it. Yeah. Is that fair, Susan? Yes, it was. I'm trying to remember what was my emphasis. I can't remember. To die is better. I think that is it was something like that. I don't remember the exact words I used. Something like that was. Yes. Yep. The only place I did go kind of rogue, I told my small group yesterday, I went rogue with my teaching outline because it was Reflections from a Prison Cell. I just really liked that. I really liked it. I mean, maybe a better title could have been To Die is Better or Want to Die or I don't know. That would have been more summarizing of my argument, but I just liked Reflection from a Prison Cell, Anissa. Yeah, on my worksheet. Yeah, I should have brought my worksheet, but I didn't. You know, I tend to, and I know a lot of us do this, and I did it in my talk, I tend to ask questions with my application. So, yes, yeah, right. Do you cherish Christ above all else? And if you do, do you want to be with him there? Yes, yeah. So I think on my when I see my applications, it's doing the what, how, and why. So what is the application? How am I going to apply it and why? I think that's what shows up on my worksheet. But at the end of the day, the worksheet is my work, like the background. It's nobody sees it. So sometimes even what I write on my worksheet and then I'm typing out my manuscript, I change stuff when I'm writing my manuscript, right? Like, that was a great launching point. I mean, it shouldn't be very different. It's not like I'm starting over. But, you know, you're wrestling with it, and you're, like, writing it out, and you're making progress and understanding it. Anissa? Yes. That's good. And we don't have to have every category in every talk. This is just helping us think through different options for how to apply. We got to do an exercise soon, but question. Other ones? Mm-hmm. I think as I was studying it, I thought of the prayer one. So I think even when I was doing structure, I think because I was just digging into the text, I'd already thought of that one. And then it wasn't till, and the primary one clearly I was doing then, the to die is better and then to make progress in our faith. But the last one of coming alongside others didn't come until actually I was writing my manuscript because I was like, recognizing who I was teaching, and I thought, well, I don't think our primary thing is that because we're not like the Apostle Paul, you know, going to them. But we're teachers, and we follow his example, right? So we should have a responsibility to. That's how it came. Does that answer you? Yes. Okay. One more. Yeah. So there's the audience to get to know who your audience is. Yeah. Which. Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that. What do you think? Yeah. Okay, let's do an exercise. Pull out a worksheet that you've already presented, not one that if you're going to present next, don't pull one of those out, but pull out one that you've already presented. And with one other person at your table, or if it's an odd number, you can do three. I want you to look at your application as it relates to your main point. Look at your application as it relates to your main point. At this point, right now, I don't care if your main point is wrong. We do ultimately, but for the purpose of this exercise, we don't care if your main point is wrong. We only want to just try to see, does my application flow out of my main point? Does my application, is there a clear connection between my main point and my application? And then how can you make it better? Maybe you'll decide there's a way that you could make it better. Is that clear what you should do? So we're connecting your main point to your application, just working on making that connection a little bit clearer. So we're clear on that? Okay, just take a few minutes. Take like 2 minutes for each person, because I want to give us the fourth strategy. I don't want to miss it, okay? Go to work. You should be switching to the second person by now, if you haven't done that yet. Okay, I gave you a couple minutes each. I know it's not a lot of time, but at least we got 2 minutes each to think about this idea of connecting our main point to our application. So let's come back together and this is exciting, isn't it? It's so exciting. Don't you want to hear the fourth strategy? That's how I can bring you back. Come on back. We got one more strategy to do. Okay, but let me just hear from you. General impressions, observations, what did you find? I'm not going to ask anybody to ask, what's your new application or whatever, but just what did you find? Like impressions, observations, doing the exercise, yes.
I have to think harder when I tie it to my main point about my applications for unbelievers.
Okay, so applications for unbelievers, that's fourth strategy, we'll get there, but you have to think harder to connect your application to your main point.
But Ashley Darby did a good job. So she's a good example of what to do.
I want to be Ashley Darby when I grow up. It's still my song, yes. Yeah. Do you want to give an example?
Sure.
So what text is this?
So I was, my paper's messed up, it's flipped the wrong way. So I was 127 to 2:4.
Okay, 127 to 2:4. Yeah, and so your application to your unbeliever.
Yeah, so my main point was a life worthy of, tell me, is it worth it?
Wow, that's good. That we had a good discussion in our small group. Well, I'm getting into the next strategy, but thinking about, an unbeliever, like the application is repent and believe, isn't it? Like, right? Which you had that in your application, but it was completely related to the point of the passage. Mm-hmm. So it's not all your non-believer applications. It's not simply repent and believe, but it's repent and believe as it relates to this main point. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, one more like impression observation on doing that exercise. Anybody want to share? What was that like? Yeah, Anissa? That's great. So how does the indicative inform the imperative in a sense? Yeah, that's really good. But there is a head application and then a hands application, right? Yeah, that's great. Okay, I hope that was helpful. And you have another opportunity in your next small group to try that again if you want to. Question? Yeah, the head and the heart, they're so connected. I mean, and so is the heart and the hands. They're so connected, right? I mean, the heart is at the heart of it, probably, right? So head, it's like thoughts, to die is better. But heart would be like the sense of repenting of a sin. Like there's this heart attitude or problem that needs to be shifted and challenged. And yeah, versus a belief. Or for an unbeliever, believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. That's like something to believe. That would be a clear head one. They overlap, okay? It's kind of like, well, I'm going to draw this in a second, but it's like, you got this. They kind of all overlap together. Christy, you want to add?
I was thinking about the
go feed my sheep, go tend my sheep, yeah. That's good. I like that. So you kind of, you have like the two together. They're, those categories are just to help, and I'm going to give you some more categories, are just to help us make better applications so that we're not always being moralistic, like do, or believe without actually doing anything, so that we have a variety of ways to apply a passage. Let me give us the fourth strategy. There's always a lot of questions on this. So, okay, so let's go. Let's get ready with this. This is thinking about categories of application beyond the head, hands, and heart. I'm thinking about, here's another Venn diagram. I'm thinking about unbelievers and believers. I'm thinking about unbelievers and believers. How do I apply passage to believers, and how do I apply it to unbelievers? And I don't think those applications are totally separate, like two separate circles. I actually think they're like a Venn diagram where they come together, and right here in the middle is where we're going to rest. And I say that because when you're a believer, there's things there, you're pulled into the world a lot, and there's applications that you would have for an unbeliever that actually a believer needs to hear, because they're like getting pulled and you need to pull them back. Right? But then you have unbelievers. We have unbelievers sitting in our churches thinking they're okay, or that they're, you know, they have friends with Christians and like whatever. And so they're in this category, but they think they're over here. And so these two overlap is what I'm trying to say. So we need to address them slightly differently, but they are in a sense overlapping. So there are four C's when we consider categories for both unbelievers and believers. So the four C's are, the first one is to confront. And remember, this is helping us make better application. Better application. So our application could confront, which I say is a call for change. It's a call for change. So perhaps your church is captured by a worldview that's culturally relevant, but this worldview is definitely opposed to the gospel, but it's like popular. They need to be confronted, your people, believers and unbelievers need to be confronted with that in order to change their thinking, okay? So like this, in this like confront to a call for change. Secondly, chastise, another category of application, which that's such an ancient word, isn't it? Chastise. But it's this sense of humbling the sinner. Humbling the sinner. Charles Simeon, of whom our organization is named after, he once wrote that his hope for his own preaching would humble the sinner, exalt the Savior, and promote holiness. So humble the sinner, exalt the Savior, and promote holiness. So thinking about chastising, it means to humble the sinner, to make them see their need, the ways in which they lack. Don't keep doing what you're doing. Humble the sinner. Thirdly, I'm just moving through these because we don't have much time, is to comfort. To comfort. Sometimes our applications don't always need to be like confronting and chastising. Sometimes the text is simply comforting. Actually, I think Cindy's exposition is going to speak to this point a little bit. Sometimes we simply need to encourage God's people with an application that comforts. Not because we want to comfort them, but because the text is calling for an application of comfort. And then lastly, challenge. An application of challenge, which is a call to action. So confront is a call for change, and a challenge is more like a call to action. So go do something. It inspires. Think about the unbeliever, you know, challenging them to believe in Christ, right? If that is what the text is doing itself. Now, these four C's, you don't need all four in your talk. That's not at all. I mean, you might have a couple of them, but it's meant, these categories are meant to help us make better application. So for my exposition, I thought that convincing you to die is better was confronting you, It was calling you to change if you think that you'd rather live in this world. I comforted you. Oh, no, Cindy's exposition. I already said that. That I think Cindy's is going to be more of a comforting thing. The challenge, the call to action, that was when I was saying, help others make progress. So, you know, you're making progress yourself. Now help others make progress. I was trying to call you to action, challenging you to do that. Those are some of the categories. We were going to do an exercise. The exercise that I wanted, and I'm going to take a question or two, but the exercise that I wanted to do is I wanted you to look at your worksheet again and ask what category your application fell under, which of these C's. And it's very interesting because like earlier we were talking about the touchy-feely and the not touchy-feely. Some of us are very good at comforting applications, and that is our mojo, and that's what we do every time we teach. Some of us are really great at chastising, and all of our applications, like, we have this word, and we want you to change because of it, and you're going to be humbled. And so the exercise is meant to make you realize, wow, I really lean towards this one C all the time. I actually need to let the text inform how I'm making applications, and maybe I need to open my mind to other ways to do it. Okay, one or two questions on the four C's, Ashley. Promote a spirit of holiness. That was a quick one.
Unbelievers, what's that part in the middle again? On your little Venn
diagram? Oh, the shaded part in the middle of that Venn diagram is the four C's. The four C's go in that shaded part, meaning that they apply to believers and unbelievers. Those are quick questions. One more. Actually, Ashley, you had a question when we were doing the exercise. What was it? It was a really good question. Oh, yes.
Secondary, I don't know if
that's right. Well, I mean, it still in a way applies. So thinking about the third strategy using your main point, what if I do come up with different applications? How do I sift through which ones I should use or not? I really thought about whether or not to call us to pray because I thought that doesn't go towards my main point. It's not even one of my sub-points. Like, should I even do that? And I felt like I was strong enough on my primary application that I could slip that in. But if I had one or two others like that, I think things would have gotten lost. And I think people would have then been confused on what they actually should walk away with. Because the mistake we make, I said in the beginning, is we have way too many arrows. We're blooding people up and they like don't know what to do with it then. But then Ashley also said, consider your audience, because she said when she teaches kids, it's like you need to tell them only one thing to do, right? You probably wouldn't say, so pray for your pastor every Sunday. You probably would just say, believe that dying is better, I think. I don't know. I don't teach kids as much anymore. I used to teach them more. But
my kids were usually unbelievers.
Your kids, well, yeah, kids are usually unbelievers, aren't they?
Well yeah, but mine were particular. They weren't raised in Christian homes.
Okay.
Okay.
So you were, it was like an evangelistic thing where
yeah.
They were unchurched and yeah. But yeah, that's good. So I mean, this is just a good point. Think of your audience for how you can apply and how much you can apply, but please don't have too many arrows. Like, really think in terms of primary application. Work on this in your small groups. Maybe you yourself as the presenter can say, I want to get better at application. Can we work on that part? And, like, talk about these strategies. Let me pray, and then we'll take a break. God, thank you for your word that wants to or desires to correct and reprove, teach us, train us in righteousness, making us complete and equipped for every good work. Can you help us as Bible teachers to make progress in this, to be better appliers of your passage, even now in our small groups? Would you do this? We ask in Christ's name. Amen.